Let me ask you this morning to be turning in your Bibles to Acts chapter 11. We're going to begin in verse 19 here in just a little while. Acts chapter 11. Thank you for tuning in to our TGRN broadcast. We appreciate your attendance to this program and hope and pray that as we are winding down our COVID isolation period that you'd think very seriously about coming to be a part of our regular worship assemblies that meet on Sundays at 10 in the morning. I'd be glad for you to come and be a part of that. We also have a Wednesday evening Bible study that starts at 6, and I want you to know you're very welcome to that as well. Hopefully in the not too distant future, we'll be opening up more of our services, and we are certainly looking forward to that. Is there any need that you might have that we can help you with here at the Beacon Church? We would certainly welcome the opportunity to do so in a spiritual way or in a physical way as well. Just please contact us by our webpage or our Facebook page, and we'll sure be happy to help you with whatever needs that you might have. For a little over a year now, the word coronavirus has been a household word. It has dominated the news. It has distorted what has been normal for all of us and replaced it with a new normal, a COVID normal, I guess we could say. And its effects have been felt in virtually every area of our lives: our health, our economy, our jobs, our freedom to travel, how we shop, how we use our leisure time. It has dominated the news not only here in America, but around the globe as well. And unless you live under a rock, none of that is new information at all, because you have lived through it just as much as I have. You have dealt with it just as much as anyone else has. However, we are now, and have been for some weeks, in what many social analysts and social sources, media sources, are calling a post-COVID recovery. Now that we're in post-COVID era. Our world is slowly returning to normal. COVID numbers are on a steady decline. Businesses are opening up more and more of their services. Masks are no longer required in a lot of areas. Restaurants have been for a while allowing dine-in options at their facilities. And I know for one that I'm glad to see that the worst is behind us. I think probably you are as well. I really didn't like our new COVID normal that we have been having to deal with for a little over a year now. But what about the church? How's the church faring in our post-COVID world? There's an online research council called Nationscape, and they just collect information across religion in America all together in kind of a mass collection of information. And they remarked the other day that fewer than half of Americans who attended services before COVID-19 would actually return to church services in the building. Their actual number was 48% will not be returning after COVID as before COVID. 48%, that's almost half of what were regular attenders. At the same time, 59% of the people that responded to the interview, 59% said that they would rather use virtual worship platforms than they would actually be in the house with other Christians worshiping. 59% said the virtual platforms were going to be their way to go. Another research group called Lifeway Research says that 5% of religious groups across the board, again, just all religious groups, 5% are going to close within the year because of the COVID pandemic. In our current environment that has been so impacted by the coronavirus, what will it take for the church to build back and rebound after the virus. What will it take for the church here in Gun Barrel to not be held back because of the difficulties we've just lived through? Our modern world technology has been a great benefit through the past several months. But, you know, technology is always a two-edged sword. Live streaming has a place. TGRN has a place. The broadcast that we're using just now, it has a place. Facebook and other social media all have a place. But those things must not ever be thought of as an alternative or a substitute for who we are and what we are to be doing as the church. Live streaming a sermon will never replace the church coming together for the five acts of worship that are commanded for us to do on the Lord's Day as God's people. Skype and Zoom and Facebook Live, that will never replace actually being with the saints for Bible study. And while those measures served us and do serve still in some capacity, they must not become a crutch that limits us from doing all that we can and from being all that we should be as our work of service in this kingdom and in this community goes on. So this morning we're going to be using the verses in Acts chapter 11 that concern the church in Antioch and the church in Jerusalem primarily rebounding after persecution to show us how we should rebound after the stress of the coronavirus. We're going to learn something about rebounding. Now, Acts chapter 11, and we're going to call our time, by the way, this morning, the church in rebound. The church in rebound. Acts chapter 11 discusses a time just after the church in Jerusalem had been through some very difficult stress. Now, their stress was different than ours. Their stress was physical persecution. If you look in Acts 11 and verse 19, you'll find the Bible says, "Now when they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenician, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but to the Jews only." I want you to notice that this verse talks about a persecution that arose about Stephen. Well, that persecution was the stoning of Stephen. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But their stress, their difficulty that they were having to deal with and having to get beyond and get over was dealing with physical persecution. Our stress, obviously, is dealing with a health crisis, not physical crisis. And although what caused our stress is different from what caused their stress, how we rebound is the same way that they rebounded. This morning we're going to notice three things that the early church did to rebound from the stress of persecution that can help us rebound from the stress of the coronavirus. And the first thing I want to notice with you from this passage is, in order for the church to rebound, we're going to have to give our constant attention to outreach. That's what the church was doing. They were responding to their crisis by being a group of people who were involved in outreach. Let's notice a couple of things here. Here's Acts 19 again in your Bible. It says again, "When they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, they traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but Jews only." Now that statement actually is a continuation, a building on of the events that actually started back in Acts 8 and verse 4. In Acts 8 and verse 4 we read, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Well, they were scattered because in Acts 7, Stephen was just stoned to death for preaching a sermon that the Jews did not accept very well. And as a result of that, they persecuted Stephen to the point of death. And immediately after that, what happens is the church in Jerusalem scatters and they all go back to the homes that they came from. Now, when we get here in Acts chapter 11, verses 19 and 20, we are actually up in the northern parts of what we would call the area of Palestine. They would not have called it Palestine, but we call it Palestine today. Verse 19 says they were up in the area of these people that were scattered. They traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and in Antioch. And if you were to look on a Bible map, you would see where those areas were. What this verse helps us to identify is that because of the persecution, the gospel is spreading from the roots of Christianity down in the southern part in Jerusalem. It's spreading from there, and it's spreading north, and it's spreading westward. The evidence of that is verse 19, verse 20, and verse 21. Once again, verse 19. Notice that they went as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. And did you notice this little phrase, what they're doing as they are scattered? What they're doing is they are preaching the word. They're preaching the word. Here is verse number 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake to the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to notice from those two verses, 19 and 20, they are not preaching the law of Moses. Why are they not preaching the law of Moses? Well, they're not preaching the law of Moses because they realize they no longer live under the law of Moses. They now live under the law of Christ. Christ nailed that old Mosaical law to the cross, according to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, and they don't live under that anymore. They live under the law of Christ. So instead of preaching Moses and the Ten Commandments and all of those ordinances and regulations mentioned in the book of Leviticus, instead of preaching and teaching that, what they're preaching and teaching is the Lord Jesus. That's what they're teaching. They're going up in all of these areas, and that's what they're doing. Now, verse 21 tells us the result of that. And verse 21 says this. Here is the result of teaching the Lord Jesus and preaching the word. It says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Now, I want to suggest to you there are two very important elements in this verse. Please be looking in your Bible, Acts 11, 21. There are two important elements in this verse that we must not miss that tell us so much about the church in rebound, about how the church in Jerusalem and the church in Antioch were rebounding from the stress that they were under. I want you to notice, first of all, this phrase in Acts 11, 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them. That's nothing more than the Lord keeping His promise that He made in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18, where He gave that commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You remember Jesus will say, all authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach the gospel to all nations. And at the end of that great commission, Jesus will make the statement, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Well, that's what's happening right here in Acts 11 and verse 21. The hand of the Lord is with them. The Lord is keeping His promise. Brethren, we need to see that the Lord will keep His promise as we keep His commission. They are going forward with the gospel of Christ. This is how they are rebounding from the stress of the persecution of Stephen. They're going forward with the gospel of Christ. They're going forward with the Great Commission. And the Lord is keeping His promise. The hand of the Lord is with them. And then I want you to notice another remarkable phrase here in verse 21, where it says, a great number believed and turned to the Lord. The order of that is very important. Notice, please, a great number believed. In other words, they believed before they turned. A great number believed and turned to the Lord. You see, no one will turn, no one will repent, except they believe. No one will believe except they hear. Well, what are they doing? They're going out preaching the Lord. They're going out preaching the Lord Jesus. People are hearing what it is they need to do. And on the basis of that hearing, they come to the point of believing, and then these believers are turning, these believers are repenting. True believing results in turning. In fact, the Greek text is very specific here. The word believing is a participle, and the word turned is a past tense verb. So here's the idea. Those who were already believers, because they had already heard, they were turning. They were repenting. That's how the process works, doesn't it? You hear the word, you believe the word, and you repent. But do we see what's happening here? The church is rebounding from their persecution by reaching out to the lost. The church is rebounding from their persecution by honoring the Great Commission. Stress has not held them back. Stress has launched them forward. The difficulties they have been through did not hobble the church. It set the church free in a way that probably would never happen before. And the gospel is spiderwebbing out into non-Jewish territory. People are hearing the gospel who have never heard it before. Look at verse 26. Verse 26 of Acts 11 says, they taught much people. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year, I'm looking at Acts 11, 26, that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. And if you underline in your Bible, underline this, and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. They taught much people. What is the result of teaching much people? That's verse 24. Much people were added to the Lord. You see, we have to believe that as we teach much people will be added. That's what was happening with the early church. The stress they had been through, it did not hold them back. It launched them out into greater works for Christ. More preaching, more teaching, and they were teaching much people. And as a result, much people were being added to the Lord. What we see the church doing is honoring the Great Commission of Matthew 28 and verse number 19. And they are rebounding by reaching out to the lost. Church, the same thing has got to happen with this church. With this church right here in Gun Barrel City. We have got to be reaching out and teaching much people. If we are not teaching much people, there will not be much people responding to the Lord. The only way that happens is if we teach much people. Oh, it's great that we have the worship assembly to come to, and more people are coming back to the worship assembly. But the teaching we're talking about is teaching on a one-on-one basis to the people you know who maybe live right beside you, or the people that you shop with, or the people that you deal with in maybe where you go to get tires on your car, or the people that come to your house and maybe perform some electrical work on your house. But it's people you're exposed to and you have the opportunity to talk to them. And unless we are teaching much people, there will not be much people responding to the Lord. That's how we will rebound post-COVID. We will reach out and we will teach much people. Do you remember what Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse number 35? He said, say ye not, there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white already unto harvest. Was that just for Jesus' day, or does that mean something to you and I? Does that have any application to you and I in our world right now today? You sitting here in this building as you being a part of this church as a Christian, does that have any impact on your life? It ought to. It ought to. Because you see, in order for us to post-COVID rebound, we're going to have to revolutionize our thinking, and we're going to start carrying the gospel into places that has never been before. Like our early brethren, we get back on track by being serious about outreach. We get back on track by being serious about the Great Commission. That's how they were responding to the stress they had just been through. And as a result of that response of teaching much people were being added to the Lord. It can and must be the very same way for you and I. So that's one thing they were doing. Let's look at a second thing that the church was doing here in Acts chapter 11. Go back to our text again of Acts chapter 11. And when we go back to Acts chapter 11, what we find is they're not only giving attention to outreach, but they're also giving attention to exhortation. To exhortation. Let's look at what we have here. Acts chapter 11, when the news of the spread of Christianity had gotten down to Jerusalem where the church began, the apostles at Jerusalem, they wanted some first-hand information. They heard about what was going on way up here in Antioch, and they wanted to know a little bit more. And so what they did is they sent Barnabas up to Antioch to kind of investigate things. And when Barnabas got there, he found that everything that they had heard about what was happening in Antioch, well, that was actually true. And your Bible says he was glad when he saw all of these good things taking place. He was glad when he saw that the church was moving forward in such a wonderful fashion, and much people were being taught, and much people were being added to the Lord. He was glad to see all of that. By the way, you could tell a lot about somebody by what makes them glad. This is what made Barnabas glad. But here's what he did. Look at verse 23, Acts 11 and verse 23. It says, "Who when he came and had seen the grace of God," talking about that progress they were making, "when he had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord." So here's the second thing that is important to the church rebounding, and that is exhortation. In order for the church to rebound, we've got to give attention to outreach. We won't rebound unless we're teaching much people. We've got to give attention to outreach. We also have to give attention to exhortation. So what is exhortation? Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked. Exhortation is not anything more than building one another up. It's not anything more than strengthening the church. Teaching the lost, that's outreach. Supporting the church, that's exhortation. We might call it the difference between outreach and inreach. We've got to be involved in outreach, teaching much people. We've got to be involved in inreach, supporting the church, exhorting one another. And brethren, what we need to see is this takes all of us. It takes all of us looking into the needs of one another. Don't think that maybe just because you are housebound, you can't do something to help encourage the church. There's a lot that you can do. Caring for one another is a task that belongs to all Christians. James said it this way in James chapter 1 and verse number 27. "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Paul put it like this in Galatians 6, 1 and 2. He said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, do what? Restore." Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. That's the church looking after the church. That's the church being involved in exhortation. They're finding those who have been overcome and they're trying to do what they can to restore them. He will continue, "Considering thyself in a spirit of meekness, lest also thou shalt be tempted." He'll state this in verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." That's what we're talking about. That's exhortation. That's the church looking out to other Christians as to how they can help that other Christian. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 has this statement about the early church. It says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which they possessed was his own, but they had all things common." That verse is telling us that men and women in the early church, that Christians in the early church, whatever they had, they didn't treat that as their own, but they saw that as some way they could help other Christians who were in need. And this text is not about socialism. It's about helping with what you have. We're called to be generous with our wallets. We're called to be generous with our income. We give on the first day of the week, as the Bible instructs in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. But we're also called to be generous with our lives. You see, healthy churches are marked by helping one another, by considering one another, by looking around the needs that each other has and just helping out. Look back at our text one more time. Acts 11, verse 24. Look at the result of the exhortation that Barnabas is doing. It says about Barnabas, "For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added to the Lord." Part of the reason much people were being added to the Lord is because the people could see the church taking care of its own. People need that. They need to be a part of something where people look out for one another. Let me tell you, isolation is not good for us. We were not ever intended by God to live in isolation from other individuals. We need the strength that each provides for one another. We need to be around those of like precious faith. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. We need to be around those who are involved in the common salvation that Jude mentions in Jude verse 3. We need that. We need that togetherness. We need that being a part of one another's lives. And so the church is rebounding by exhortation. They are rebounding by being involved in one another's lives. And the stress over the stoning of Stephen, that caused its own set of problems. But those problems are not holding them back. Those problems are launching them to being more involved in the lives of one another's. And I want to tell you, the stress that we have been through with the coronavirus ought to do the same thing for us. It ought to rebound us to be more involved, more active in the lives of those right around us. And so how do you rebound? Well, you rebound by reaching out. And you rebound by reaching in and looking to the needs of one another. Now then, verse 26 gives us the last bit of information about how to rebound. In verse 26, we read this. "And when he had found him," this is now Barnabas who had gone to Tarsus to find Saul. "When he had found him, he brought him to Antioch." So Paul and Barnabas are now down in Antioch. "And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." That's the last verse of the context in which we're reading, and it tells us about one other thing that was taking place as the church is rebounding from their stress about Stephen, and that is an attention to assembling. They were assembling together as God's people. Now, probably most of the time when we think about assembling, maybe our minds go to what we have in Hebrews 10 and verse 25, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." By the way, that verse has the important application as well of exhorting one another, like we saw back with Barnabas and the church in Antioch in Acts chapter 11. Exhorting is so important. But I want you to notice Hebrews 10 and verse 25 talks about assembling as well, assembling themselves together. Now, that's certainly a great passage that teaches a lot about the activity of the early church assembling. And while assembling certainly includes the Lord's Day assembly, the circle of what that verse, of what that word means, is actually much bigger than just the Lord's Day assembly. You'll notice it is not assembly, it is assembling. Assembling together. Now this passage of our text in Acts 11 verse 26, I want you to notice it uses exactly the same word that carries exactly the same idea. The idea of the Lord's assembly, but a broader circle than that, a wider circle than that. The idea of the church assembling together. The idea of the church being together. The idea of the church being around one another. Spending time with one another. That is so important for the church in rebound, to be spending time with one another. You see, the early church was a connected church. They were involved in one another's lives, and they stayed in contact with one another. In fact, the early church had fellowship together. They were connected through fellowship, Acts 2 and verse 42. They were connected by having all things common, Acts 2 and verse 44. They ate together, Acts 2, 46. They prayed together, Acts 2, 42. They worshiped together, Acts 20 and verse 7. They worked together in Acts 6, verses 1 through 7. They did all of these things together. That's what the church is for. The church is for connecting. The church is for being a part of a group that is spending time with one another. The church offers the opportunity to connect with a community that shares a common lifestyle and common values with the goal of pleasing God. And I want to tell you, there is nothing that will ever replace the opportunities when God's people come together and they spend time in the assembly. There's nothing that will build you up and encourage you and give you a sense of belonging like that will. You can't get that from isolation. You can't get that from being separated from one another. It connects people of like precious faith and it brings them into a common salvation. The repeated and clear emphasis of the Bible is that being together with God and being together with each other as we work our way through this world, that is the whole point. And the church in Jerusalem got that point. The church in Antioch got that point. And the reason they rebounded so well after the pressure of the persecution of Stephen, the reason they got over that so well is because they were spending time with one another, because they were assembling with one another. How are we going to get over the stress we've been through this past year and a little bit more, brought about to us because of the coronavirus? We're going to do the same thing. We're going to spend time with one another. We're going to call one another. We're going to check on one another. We're going to be involved in one another's lives. We're going to attend the Lord's Day assembly, certainly. But that's just a small piece of what we're doing. We're spending time with other Christians. We're reaching out into their lives. I like the way David said it in Psalm 116 and verse number 14. He said, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. He put it this way in Psalm 122 and verse 1. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We ought to be glad for the opportunity to come and worship God. We ought to be glad for the opportunity to be around God's people. And nothing will encourage a rebound like doing exactly that. I want to tell you, I'm absolutely convinced, and I mean this with all sincerity, I'm absolutely convinced the most important thing there is in this world is the opportunity to be a part of the church, the Lord's church. It's so strong and so vibrant that not even the gates of hell can stop it. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. But we have to do our part. I'm convinced that the church can rise above any pressure, any difficulty, and shine as the light of Christ in this community or any other community, just as Jesus would have it to do. But to make that happen, our passion must be reaching the lost, just like the church in Antioch did. In order to rebound, we have to reach out. That's what they did, and that's what we must do. Our passion must be building up the body of Christ, reaching in and exhorting and encouraging one another. And our passion must be staying connected to one another. The assembly is so important to that. So is other times in which we reach out to help one another as well. And so the church in Antioch, they rebounded, and they rebounded so well because of all of these great ideas, because they were reaching out into their community with the gospel, because they were exhorting their own selves, they were keeping their own selves strong, and because they were involved in spending time in one another's lives. If there's any way at all, we at the Beacon Church of Christ can help you with any of that. We certainly want you to know that we are here for you, that we are all about the church rebounding, getting back to not just where it was, but to much more than that, much more beyond that. And if we can help you with any needs in your life, then please contact us. We will do all that we can to assist with those needs. Thank you for tuning into our program, and we pray that we might meet you someday soon in the assembly as we meet here at Gun Barrel Church of Christ.